The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, did you have to bring in a burger and fries at 11 o'clock this morning? I mean, I had a breakfast, nice breakfast, but about 11 o'clock, like most people, I start to get a little hungry. And what do you have?
You've got
like a triple burger in there with
your
fries.
Your senses are orange peel sensitive. You can smell that burger and those fries just like most people. Yeah. When somebody peels an orange, that smell of the orange is just everywhere.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, I'm on the other side of the glass. There's glass between us, and not only could I smell it, but I still see that fry container over there is half full.
From now on, you're going to be known as Bloodhound Bill.
Welcome, everybody. It's Friday, August the 3rd. It's the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks always does such a nice job engineering and producing. On Friday, we like to do a shout-out to some of the media folks. We're so well-supported, and I'm so blessed with the folks in the media that have supported this show over the years. Dylan Smith, thanks, Dylan, TucsonSentinel.com, Dan Shear down at Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. Tucson Media Group and their portfolio of Tucson publications, that includes Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly. And our Friday Focus interview is with United States Representative Raul Grijalva, representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. He was first elected in 2002, so this is his ninth now run for asking folks to send him back to Washington. Congressman, how are you?
I am well. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Joining me in the conversation is Sarah Garrett Gasson, a longtime friend of this program and a personal friend of mine. She does a great job as the editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, it's good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
How's your summer been?
Very warm, but yeah. Good. Yes.
Yes. Congressman, we were going to have you on the program a couple of weeks ago, and I understand, you know, you had that commitment that you had to Southwest Key. You wanted to check it out, and it was nothing against the show. That was the time they said you could come.
Yeah, yeah. We had been waiting close to a month to get an appointment. A member of Congress and other members of Congress and I had to wait to get an appointment to go into the facilities where the children had been placed, the children that were separated at the border from primarily their moms, because that was the preponderance of the parents that were there, were mothers. And finally, we got our appointment, and it coincided, unfortunately, with the opportunity to come and talk with you and your listeners. But We couldn't pass that up. We went. I described it as that it wasn't one of Dante's rings of hell in there, but it wasn't Shangri-La either. These are kids that have been forcibly separated from their parents. They're little, and there were 79 of them there in Tucson, and living essentially in a detained facility, a detention, and a shelter. And, you know, I don't care what amenities you place, but once you have made that horrible separation of taking a kid from their mom, there's not too many amenities you can do to try to repair that. And, as time has gone on, more questions have risen about the oversight on these facilities, Southwest Keys and other detention centers in Texas, about issues of abuse, mm-hmm. Issues of both physical and sexual, issues of the issues now and how you're going to match these kids up. There's still 419 that have not been matched to their parents. And, you know, when we met with the Secretary of Homeland Security, Ms. Nielsen, she admitted readily that there's probably going to be some that never get matched with their parents. It's going to be, I think, when we look back on this chapter of zero tolerance and that separation on the border, we will look back on it 5 years from now, a decade from now. It'll be one of those black marks on our on our government and a black mark on our conscience, because this has been very traumatic. And I think it's also been traumatic for the people of this country who, you know, just regardless of how you might feel about immigration, the idea of separating kids from their moms is just not something that people tolerate or support.
One of our Facebook friends is very concerned about Southwest Key. He says, it's a federal domain. Would you please ask the congressman, what can Congress do to stop this?
Well, it is something that was toward the, and unfortunately the Obama administration started doing this too late in their last year, is to begin to reduce their private detention contracts. You know, one was just signed with the two biggest private prison, for-profit prisons, $2.9 billion in this last budget. Southwest Keys received a contract of $458 million just for this zero-tolerance separation. These are money-making propositions. And the problem with ICE is that there's no oversight. There's no accountability. And as such, what I think the federal government has to do while we're relying on these agencies, whether nonprofit or not, you are putting people that you have apprehended in their care, and you're putting children in their care. And so the oversight by Congress has to be rigorous, and it has to be transparent, and that's not occurring. We have, you know, one of the things that's happened under this administration is the acquiescence, for lack of a better word, of Congress, the majority of Congress, the Republican leadership, to be blunt. We're not playing our co-equal role. There's no accountability. There's no oversight. There's no hearings to examine. There is no independent investigations. And as such, the checks and balances that would normally apply to a private facility or a private nonprofit are not there.
All right, here is Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star.
One of the things that I hear from letter writers and people who call The Star to share their views is that why are Americans specifically this administration, why are we blaming the administration for separating the children from their parents when, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but this is what people say, that it's the parents' fault, it's the family's fault. They're the ones that brought the kids in the first place. They shouldn't have done that. What kind of parents are they? It's dangerous. And so it's not the government's fault. It is the parents' fault for bringing the kids in the first place.
It's difficult to ask people that have that point of view or that opinion. It's difficult to ask them to put themselves in those mom's shoes, but you almost have to. We have to understand that, you know, with this zero tolerance policy, what the administration did is confuse two fundamental laws, the immigration law and the refugee and asylum law. Two different. And these people came to the border, and why did they get there? They were fleeing basically Central America. 90% of the kids that we're talking about are Central Americans or indigenous folks from southern Mexico. And they fled terror. They fled cartels. They fled a credible fear for their lives and their well-being and the well-being of their children. That's why they came. So the choices to those moms were simple. I need to escape where I'm at and go seek comfort and refuge somewhere else, and that somewhere else is the beacon, the United States of America. And that's why they're there, because they were fleeing a situation much worse, and the risk, and it was dangerous to cross all of Mexico to get to Nogales or Laredo or Juarez. They risked all that because they felt that the impending catastrophe in their home countries was such that the risk was worth it.
So, are we going to have the wall? Are we going to have the government shut down at the end of September because President Trump can't get the wall?
You know, it's interesting in the House. I think even though we're in the minority, that this issue has got bipartisan opposition to it. Some on simple issues of cost, $25 billion. There's something being floated now, $5.9 billion to repair existing, not new, existing, and with a one-year deal for DACA to spare that issue. I guess when we go back in September, that's going to be something that we deal with. But, you know, for the president to say, unless I get my wall, I'm not going to sign the budget agreement. And by not signing the budget agreement, the government shuts down. That is dangerous. It is dangerous at many levels. And like it or not, if Congress passes a budget agreement and sends it to the president and he refuses to sign it because the wall's not there, the blame and the responsibility for all the consequences that come with the government shutdown are going to fall squarely in that Oval Office.
Right before the midterms.
And, you know, politically, I'm sure that his Republican colleagues and certainly the Republican National Committees are probably pulling their hair out, knowing what effect this would have on the midterms, and it would have a very, very negative effect on the Republican Party.
All right, we'll take our break right here. It's 12:15. This portion of the program is brought to us by Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is my favorite bakery in town. As I can see by the pounds that I've been gaining around my midsection, but that's all right. Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve gets up so early in the morning to bake that wonderful bread. Congressman, you love bakery goods, don't you?
Those Kringles are deadly.
I know.
They're so good.
They are very, very good, those Danish Kringles, as attested to by Congressman Raul Grijalva. And, of course, the brownies that Steve turns out are just unbelievable. High-quality chocolate. Love the brownies. They're open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the great partners that we have that make our program possible. Congressman Grijalva stays with us for another segment, as does Sarah Garrett Gasson, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Also, the monthly visit with retired United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're at 1220, and we're with Congressman Raul Grijalva, who represents the 3rd Congressional District in Arizona. Sarah Garrett Gasson is also here from the Arizona Daily Star. We have a couple of calls, folks who have been waiting. So let's do the calls, and I've got a couple more questions, and I know Sarah does as well. So, Bob, you're going to be up first. Go ahead, Bob.
Good afternoon. I was just curious. I've got some of my children are attended our service academies, and I was curious as to how many appointments to our service academies, West Point Naval Academy, Air Force, and Merchant Marine Academy,
and Coast Guard,
have come out of the congressman's office last year.
Okay. Last year, I think it was two, and that's usually what the number is. We get many outstanding young people applications. We have a process by which retired military folk and others from veteran service organizations help us through that process. They recommend, and we recommend, and we've been fortunate. And but there's also we've also been able to place young people into the preparatory. For a year, so that they get they're not quite ready for the academy experience, and that preparatory year allows them then to go into. I would include the Coast Guard as part of that. We work with them as well, and I think we've done a good job.
Sarah, why don't you jump in here? We'll go back to the phone lines in a minute, but I want to bring you back into the conversation.
Thanks, Bill. One of the biggest troubling things, I think, from my perspective as an American and as a journalist, is the notion that the president keeps saying and has said that the press, journalists, are the enemy of the people, and fake news, and saying just straight out of 1984, pretty much saying, don't believe what you read and hear in the media. So what is your response to that? And then what can Americans, residents, people, your constituents do to combat that and fight against it?
Two levels. You know, that we know of the organized tampering by Russia in the cyber attacks on our elections in 2016. We know that is occurring as we speak, relative to the elections that are coming up, the trolling that's going on, the fake sites, the disinformation. So you have that phenomena of which this administration is doing. They talk about it, but they're not doing anything to aggressively confront and to begin to stop that. The other issue is, like all autocrats around the world, the issue of a free press is probably the area in which there is agreement among dictators and autocrats that we need to quell that. It is a free and independent source of information, It holds us accountable. You know, and for those of us in elective office and those of us that have this privilege, you know, the press is there to do the checks and balances, to check the facts, and to hold us accountable. You know, I don't always like the stories that Tim Steller writes about me. But that's the press. And if you're in the profession that I'm in, then you learn that that's part of the process. And what is so dangerous right now is to minimize that role, to make facts irrelevant, to repeat the lie so many times that it becomes inconsequential, and to make the press the target. All the ills that are going on with this administration, yes, nothing is not of their own making. It's the press's fault that I'm being investigated by Mueller. It's the press's fault that four cabinet members have had to leave. It's the press's fault that all these investigations and lawsuits are going on. It's not the press's fault. And I think what's dangerous to me right now is that constant beating of that drum, fake news, enemy of the people, the press lies, is resonating with some people who truly believe that Trump is the oracle of the truth and the press is their enemy. And that is a dangerous thing, because a free press is what is vital to this democracy of ours. Because the biggest risk going on right now is to the democracy, nothing else. Regardless of party affiliation, the democracy, our ability to be able to have our representative government do what we want for us is at stake here. And part of the attack on the press is attack on the norms of our democracy, because they're part of the norms. So I see it as not only dangerous, but I think I really believe that this administration has made the press part of their political agenda in terms of how they both consolidate power and, second of all, deflect from what's going on.
Chuck has been waiting on the line. Go ahead, Chuck. You're with Congressman Grijalva.
Yes, Congressman Grijalva. You mentioned the fact that if we have a government shutdown, it would have a dramatic effect on our economy. Sir, you've been in Congress a long time, and you've seen shutdowns, and Congress, even though they shut down, the government does not shut down. Social Security checks are still being sent out and printed. All the bills are being paid. The only effect might be some of the parks be shut down. But other than that, it had little effect. I'd just like you to comment on this, sir.
No, I think it has an effect. It has an effect on the economy. For every day, there's billions and billions that we lose. For every day that there's a shutdown, there are government workers that are not working. For every day that we're shut down, vital services, you know, the checks keep flowing, but the processing of claims, the dealing with the day-to-day services the government provides, that can't be ignored. It's not as simple as just shutting down a park. It's as complicated as contracting services for the military. It's as complicated as the work that is done on a variety of levels, both in research, science. You know, the government is a comprehensive picture of services that the American people have. And when you shut those services down, there is consequences. And those consequences both have to deal with money, but more important, the disruption that it causes in the lives of the American people. Every time there's been a shutdown, those responsible for leading that effort have suffered the consequences of that. And I don't see this particular threat by the president to be any different from the ones that have occurred in the past.
And Raytheon would have the impacts too, right here in Tucson. If the government shuts down the contracts, nobody's going to be there in Washington on the other end to deal with the contracts.
Exactly. That's the contractual obligation. This government has contractual obligations across the board, and domestically as well. Those contractual obligations stop. So it might not be that federal worker at that particular office that we're talking about, but we're also talking about people that are providing services and products for the government that also are stopped.
So go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, well, I was just going to say the Social Security checks may continue, but federal workers are at home. They're not being paid, right?
Right.
The blue wave we've heard about, do you think that is going to happen in the midterms?
We
got some interesting races, very tight in some states that Donald Trump carried, like Ohio.
Yeah, there's tight races all over the country. I think it's an opportunity for the American people to change course, to create a co-equal status in our government so that the House of Representatives behaves like the House of Representatives with regard to this administration and holds them accountable. I think there's an undercurrent right now. Predictions are impossible to make right now, but I really think that people are looking at the voting process, given how many more have been asked for in Pima for vote by mail, as their one way to change course. And I think Democrats have an opportunity, and a probability in the House of Representatives. I think it's going to be tougher in the Senate. But in the House of Representatives, there's an opportunity for the majority to change. And if that occurs, then it's a whole new ballgame. Obviously, I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, being a Democrat, you know, sometimes we ourselves get lost in two-car funerals. So we have to make sure that we are with message, with an agenda, and with the issue of accountability that I think the American people are looking for. American people right now want somebody, they want to feel comfortable that they're sending somebody there that's going to fight for them. That's the frustration. They want to see they want to send somebody there. It's going to be entirely up to people that don't normally vote in elections. If they turn out, then there's going to be a wave. If we stay static as we have in the previous elections and the same voting block, and there's going to be horribly tight races across this country. But if the people that normally don't vote, it will be a wave.
Do we have one more call? Okay, James, let's try to get you in here before we say goodbye. Go ahead, James.
Yes, I'm wondering if the congressman can give a good definition of what Democrat socialism is. And is that the future of the Democratic Party? It seems like this Ocasio-Cortez woman who won her primary, she seems to put in the future. But then Barack Obama did not endorse her, and many other Democrats have not endorsed her. In fact, they're endorsing her competition who lost, Crowley. He's running as a third party. Also, as a little correction, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. That's kind of a key part. And
okay.
The congressman...
Okay.
Well, I know that with her rather historic victory in New York, that and her saying I'm a democratic socialist, that it's created a lot of new boogeymen for people to get to want to talk about. I don't know what the definition would be. But in terms of Democrats, I think it's going to have to be an agenda that talks to economic realities, talks about income inequality, talks about health care, and beginning the pragmatic process of making Medicare available and affordable to all Americans, and talks about something constructive and good in terms of the environment. And we have to have a major infrastructure push in order to create the kind of jobs that people are looking for right now, jobs that are sustainable and with good wages, and begins to close that income gap. Those are all going to be part of the agenda. Now, people can classify them any way they want, but that's the agenda that I think the American people are looking for, and that's what's going to be tested. Definitions, I call myself a progressive because I adhere to what I just told you. There are some principles and some values. Everybody, I think one thing about the Democratic Party, we're not lockstep with one another as we go forward. We're not, the Republican Party, sir, with all due respect, has cudgeled, emboldened, and covered up for this president now for 18 months. And now the verdict is out, and the first verdict is going to come in November, and we'll see how their performance is done anything for them. And I think American people are asking for a lot more than's being provided, and they want a change of course. And I think Democrats are in a good place to present that.
All right. I am out of time, but since I'm the host, I can ask one more question, right, Sarah?
Absolutely.
And the question is, did we almost lose the Ironwood National Monument?
It was really great. I mean, we had a large number of Republicans that voted against Mr. Gosar's attempt to kill the Ironwood National Monument. It was defeated with the help of his own party, who understood that that was nothing but a petulant, mean-spirited act against Southern Arizona. And so we dodged that bullet. But quite frankly, this administration has not seen a national monument or a public land that they don't feel they can extract something out of and not preserve or conserve it. So that fight will go on. I think Zinke is going to end up losing his position as well due to the 14 investigations that are going on with him right now. And once he's gone, hopefully we'll have a secretary that understands that this is about a multi-use concept and a balance between our environment and the need for development. And right now it's all development and no protections for the environment. And I think Gosar represents that line of view that just sees our public lands as a commodity, doesn't see them as anything else.
All right. Congressman Raul Grijalva, thank you, sir, for coming by the station.
Thank you.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around. Jim Nintzel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, is already on the live line. He's ready to go. Let's take the break right here. We'll be back right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Hello, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable portion of the hour. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor, Arizona Daily Star, is with us, and Jim Ninsel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Oh, my goodness, I'm doing great. That picture of your child, first day of kindergarten. You know, some of these wonderful pictures on Facebook. I love this time of year. The kids, they are so excited. You know, they don't care about politics or anything else right now. All they're looking forward to, hey, I'm actually in school. How cool is that, Jim?
They love it. I mean, she's been going to school since she was very small over at Strauss Early Childhood Education at Temple Emmanuel, and I can't say enough good things about that operation over there. But, you know, I took her in. She got done with her first day of school. I said, how'd it go? She said, great. I said, what'd you do? She said, played. I said, what else did you do? She said, it's not your worry. So...
very cool.
I think she's moving on already.
Yeah. Before we talk about some of the key races, and I'll give you a couple of mine. Sarah's probably got a couple that she'd like to watch, and I know that you would like to watch. I do want to bring up the piece in the Weekly about the Councilman Kasachek has come to some kind of a meeting of the minds with the developer over the Benedictine Monastery. I think this is a really big community issue. I think Sarah probably would agree with me on that. Right, Sarah?
Absolutely. And we actually have a guest opinion piece from one of the sisters, the Benedictine sisters, kind of laying out their side of things. That'll be in the paper and online on Sunday.
Very cool. So, Jim, there's a difference in the height of the apartment rate, the market rate apartments. Has a lot changed here or what?
Yeah, it's gotten quite a bit larger. Steve Kasachek, the councilman, held a pretty strong line against the developer in this case. He wanted, I think, something in the neighborhood of 68 feet on some of these towers that he wants to build around this monastery, which is an absolutely beautiful piece of architecture designed by Roy Place over on Country Club Road. And Country Club Road, kind of south of Speedway. And it's just amazing building, and I think the neighbors really cherish it. They didn't like the idea of these very tall buildings going up next to them, and there was really just some dispute about how high it would get. The developer came back with a couple of different notions about what could be done and had some threats of turning it into student housing and whatnot, and Kasachek held firm and said, look, this is what I think you ought to be doing here. And eventually the developer, after acquiring some land next to the property in order to put a few more apartments there, decided he would go ahead and go with what the councilman was saying. So I think it's a good ending to this story. Hopefully we'll have good-looking buildings next door to this gorgeous community resource.
All right, let's move on to the early ballots. They are in the mail. And Sarah, a couple of the races, and Jim, that kind of jump out at me. Certainly, you have to point to that, some would say, a wide-open Congressional District 2 Democratic primary.
Yeah, it's we have, what is it, six Democratic candidates? And
is it, Jim, is it seven?
Well, it depends on whether you count Yaya or not.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll count Yaya. So seven. So it's wide open, in your opinion, Jim or Sarah? Sarah, go ahead.
I don't think it's entirely wide open. I think we have a couple people, Ann Kirkpatrick specifically and Matt Hines, who are well-known. Kirkpatrick has been in Congress before. She is new to that district, however. And then Matt Hines ran unsuccessfully last time against Martha McSally.
But still has name recognition.
There are people who have unfortunate name recognition, like Yahya Yüksel and Mary Matea is an interesting candidate. Raul Grijalva, a congressman who is just here, has endorsed her. So there are people who are familiar, and I don't think it's entirely wide open. But
and Bruce Wheeler is Bruce really Wheeler. Well known. He's been absolutely. A former city councilman, and then, of course, a state lawmaker. So, you know, he's got some name recognition there. But, Jim, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, on paper, Kirkpatrick should be really dominating this race. She's raised far more money than any of the other candidates. She has Gabby Giffords' endorsement, Ron Barber's endorsement. She really has what's left of Gabby Giffords and Ron Barber's political machine working on her behalf, and they know this district very well. And she could still very well prevail in this race, but I don't think she's really catching on with a lot of people who live in this district who kind of see her as somebody who's coming in from the outside and who is more moderate than what they'd like to see. And then, you know, Matt Hines is really hammering away at her with some negative advertising regarding her votes on the mine swap up north of here, a land swap to benefit a mining company, as well as some of her comments regarding the NRA. And so, you know, that's not helping her any. I don't know if it's helping Matt or not, because, you know, I think sometimes when you go negative, it can also rebound to the benefit of another candidate in the race. But still, what polling we've seen has shown those guys in the lead. But again, these days, politics is so wild and woolly and unpredictable that you could potentially see a dark horse like Billy Kovacs emerging in that race. I think the DCCC, certainly in Washington, is looking to support Kirkpatrick, and they want to see somebody who can win, because this is going to be one of the most competitive races in the country. And, of course, Democrats are fighting for every seat they can in an effort to take back Congress.
And I do think that on the Republican side, Leah Marquez Peterson is well known in Southern Arizona and in CD2. For the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, she's on every board, or has been part of every board and award and organization. So she is very well known. And
you don't think she'll have much trouble emerging then in this?
I don't think so. Right. I really don't think so.
Jim, there's another race that I've been focusing on, and that is the Republican three-way primary in Congressional District 1. That's a sprawling district that goes all the way up to the border, up in the northern part of Arizona, the northwest suburbs of Phoenix. This is a race to see who will face off against the incumbent Democrat, Tom O'Halloran. You've got Steve Smith, state senator, Tiffany Shedd. Her family's been in the agriculture business in Eloy forever. Even if you're retired, you're still a colonel. Colonel Wendy Rogers. That's an interesting race. Any idea who might emerge there, Jim?
Before we move on from CD2 Republican side, I have to say I agree that Leah Marquez Peterson is probably going to emerge the winner in that race, because her opponents are badly underfunded and have very little name ID. But I would say that I think the biggest disappointment there is the way that Leah Marquez Peterson has gone underground and is not really responding to the media or really making any of her positions known to the public. So I think that's a terrible disappointment to see somebody who wants to be in Congress unwilling to really talk about where she stands on things. On District 1,
I would say, Tiffany Shedd, I think, is the person the NRCC would really like to see go forward in that race. They think she has the best chance of being able to appeal to the voters in that district, which is also a very competitive congressional district. You also have Wendy Rogers, who's run for Congress several times in the past, very hard worker, but also very, very conservative and aligned with Trump. But can say the same thing about Steve Smith, who is a state lawmaker who has, you know, been one of the most conservative folks up there. Any way you slice it, I think the voters up there are going to be choosing between some pretty conservative candidates going up against Tom O'Halloran.
I agree.
You know, something you were mentioning about sort of someone who's gone underground. What happened with Congresswoman McSally going underground?
I was just going to say that Leah Marcus Peterson is following McSally's playbook on that.
Congresswoman McSally is really now not available to any of us in the Southern Arizona media. I know Joe Ferguson at the Star has repeatedly tried to reach her for a piece that you all were doing, a profile piece, and she's just not available.
Yeah, we, on the editorial side of things, we asked all the candidates for in contested races to send in 300-word statements. And I was kind of surprised, actually, that we got everyone, because in years past, we haven't received participation from some of the Republicans. But what people, I thought it was really interesting, the difference between candidates who are talking about what their ideas are and what they stand for and what they want to do, and then sort of the broader kind of amorphous campaign speak. And I also think that Martha McSally's basic defense of Trump after that awful summit with Putin.
Helsinki summit.
Yes, definitely did not help her among any sort of Democrats who might be leaning, seeing her as a middle-of-the-road person.
And Jim, I want to say, and I'm out of time, but really, if Joe Arpaio was not in this race, how close would this be between Kelly Ward and McSally?
I think it would be a lot closer, because I think the Arpaio people would be gravitating towards Ward. And I think not only is Martha McSally defending Trump on Helsinki, she's defending him on just about everything across the board ever since she decided to run for U.S. Senator. Now she was running for U.S. Senate. So her tune is Trump has changed dramatically from when she was trying to win a closely divided congressional district.
Okay, Jim, we're going to let you go. Get back at it with all your publications over there at Tucson Local Media. Thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Have a good weekend, Sarah.
You too.
All right, Sarah, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too, Bill.
We'll be right back.
Get your tickets now for Arizona Wildcats football. Kevin Sumlin leads the program into a new era, and we want you to be part of it. Season tickets start at the new low price of $70 for all 7 home games. Flex packs, group tickets, and single game tickets are also on sale. The new era of Arizona football starts September 1st when the Wildcats take on BYU at Arizona Stadium. Get your tickets today at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson, visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you find the complete list of the great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, including visiting the historic Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument and doing some hiking in a very green Gila National Wilderness after the nice summer rains that have come to southwest New Mexico. Here is the host of Weekend Watch, the longtime host, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great on this beautiful Friday, Bill. Thanks.
Are you ready for a happy hour? I know you have been for 7.5 years that you've been doing Weekend Watch.
That's right. I look forward to it every single Friday. Now, we're back into the triple digits for the foreseeable future. So this happy hour pick is all about cooling down. And one of the fun ways to do that is at Elliott's on Congress downtown. Now, I like Elliott's because of their ice-cold vodka infusion program.
Wow.
In fact, they have more than 20 different vodka infusions that they do right there on site. Some of the popular ones are their cucumber and their basil vodkas, and they really lend themselves to some pretty creative cocktails. And don't you dare miss the duck sliders, which are happy hour musts. I say get your weekend off to a great start at Elliott's today.
What's going on over at the Fisher?
Well, Kingfisher's annual summer road trip, they have just launched their Back East menu, comprised of some of their team's favorite East Coast traditions and ingredients. Taking center stage, Bill, is the lobster corn dog, the lobster bisque, and my absolute favorite, the fried soft shell crab sandwich with Old Bay fries.
Ooh.
Even the cocktails have East Coast influences to wash down nearly 10 Back East dishes. You can head east this weekend at Kingfisher.
Do we have a national day of food devotion?
Well, absolutely. Some of your listeners may not be too familiar with mead, M-E-A-D, mead. It's a spirituous sipper of sorts made from fermented honey and spices and grains. And tomorrow is your chance to learn more because some folks from a meadery up in Prescott will be throwing a party down here at 1912 Brewing Company for National Mead Day. The party gets underway at 4 o'clock, and you'll enjoy flights of mead paired with several different kinds of bacon. And, of course, for that, I'm grateful. I just learned that mead dates back to the year 1700 B.C.
Whoa.
So what fun it will be to sip a little history tomorrow at the 1912 Brewing Company.
There you go. What's in the column at Inside Tucson Business?
Well, Bill, rustic is the new buzzword in culinary conversations these days, and I sat down with a local chef who had some fun stories to tell about the role of rustic at the center of the plate at his Foothills restaurant. It's a true rustic reward, and you can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
And, of course, go to Bon Voyage Travel for information about the Matt Russell cruise that's coming up. It's not too early to plan, 2019.
Absolutely. Now is the time to do it. Thank you, sir.
All right, Matt. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Cheers. You too.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. I want to do a bunch of thank yous here. People who make this program possible, of course, all of our great partners on the Buckmaster Show. If you go to buckmastershow.com, you'll see a very impressive list of sponsors for this program. I think it's the best list of sponsors, certainly in Tucson. Original theme music by Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Everyone here at KVOI, including the gentleman I'm looking at on the other side of the glass, Tom Fairbanks, my Friday engineer producer. Ray Allen sits in that chair Monday through Thursday. The whole team at KVOI, including Funny Man production man Jerry Cross, Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of Good News Communication, our home station for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of all of us, have a very good weekend, a safe one, too.